Good evening. I'd like to greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's so good. I was administered to after I talked to Alvin, and I have received a blessing. And before I was administered to, I was nauseous and didn't know if I was going to be able to make it. And I haven't felt nauseous since I was administered to, so I praise the Lord because he's good. I called Lorelli to tell her the testimony because I was so excited. I want to start out. Brother Alvin gave me my theme this morning in the service. He said, our brother Darren Kroll's going to preach tonight. Come on out and praise the Lord. And I thought, wow, that's interesting, because I already knew I was going to be preaching about David. And David, to me, is one of the best known for praising the Lord. And so we're going to start off tonight reading Psalm 150. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. You know, David, this appears to me to be his last psalm. He had reason to praise the Lord. And I'd like to go through some of his his history, and I'm going to start out in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 32. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 32. And we know the history of David and Goliath. We know the story. So I'm just going to go through just a little bit of it. It says in verse 32, "And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him," meaning Goliath. "Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go out against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered him out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." David said, moreover, "The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." And we know what happened. We know by the power of God, David slew Goliath. He had faith. You know, in studying for this sermon, I found a lot of prophecies in the Psalms where David prophesied of Christ. He knew much about the Holy One of Israel. And I think that had to do with him being after God's own heart. He got close to God. But he also, at times, strayed from God. And now I want to turn to Saul became jealous of David after David slew Goliath, and the people began to say, Saul killed his thousands and David killed his ten thousands. Saul grew jealous. And he sought to kill David. And I want to turn to chapter 21. Well, I want to turn before chapter 21, chapter 20, verse 41. Jonathan, Saul's son, is announcing to David that his father Saul is seeking his life. And in verse 41 it says, "And as soon as the lad was gone, David arose out of a place toward the south and fell on his face to the ground and bowed himself three times. And they kissed one another and wept one with another until David exceeded." This was at the point where they realized that, okay, let me give some more history behind this. David had married Saul's daughter and Jonathan's sister. And Jonathan and David were close friends. And when they realized that David had to flee for his life, that's here when they wept. And it says, and also I'm sure they feared for David's life. And it says, wept with one another until David exceeded. And I thought, I want to know what exceeded means. So I looked it up, and it says, boasted or lifted himself up in pride. And so, first he's very sad and upset, and I'm thinking fearful. And then he starts thinking, I'm a man. I think he thinks of himself here. Rather than pleading God, seeking God, he begins to think of himself. And it says in 42, "And Jonathan said to David, go in peace, for as much as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed forever. And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city." Continuing in chapter 21, "Then came David to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest. And Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David, and said unto him, why art thou alone, and no man with thee? And David begins to lie. It says, "And David said unto Ahimelech the priest, the king hath commanded me a business, and hath said unto me, let no man know anything of the business whereabout I sent thee, and what I have commanded thee. And I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. And now therefore, what is under thine hand? Give me five loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present." So David was hungry. He wanted food. Verse 4, "And the priest answered David and said, there is no common bread under mine hand, but there is hallowed bread. If the young men have kept themselves at least from women. And David answered the priest and said unto him, of a truth, women have been kept from us about these three days since I came out. And the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in a manner common. Yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel. So the priest gave him hallowed bread, for there was no bread there but the shew bread. that was taken from before the Lord to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. So David did that which was not allowed. Well, it goes on to say here in verse 7 that there was a servant of Saul's there who saw this. And then in verse 8 it says, "And David said unto Ahimelech, And is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste." He's continuing in his lie. "And the priest said, The sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it, for there is no other save that there. And David said, There is none like that. Give it me. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul." So David was walking in fear of man rather than fear of God. "And went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish, said unto him, Is not this David, the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? And David laid up these words in his heart, and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath." So first he ran from fear of Saul. And then he ran from, or and then now he has fear of Achish, king of Gath. "And he changed his behavior before them and feigned himself mad in their hands and scrabbled on the doors of the gate and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. Then said Achish unto his servants, Lo, ye see the man is mad. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Have I need of madmen that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?" So we saw the depths to which David fell in fear, in sin. Of course, he fell much further. We know the story of his many wives, and we know about how he killed the husband of one woman he lusted after. But he repented, often repented. And in this next psalm that I'm going to read, we can see his repentance and we can see his faith and his belief in God. Turn to Psalm 71. This, I'm sure, was much later, after he'd been through many trials. Because you can, while reading this, you can just see the, I was going to say maturity, but it's much more than that. It's closeness to God. He's a man who's been tried, and his faith in God, in his faith in God, God has delivered him. "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion." When I read that, I had a trial this weekend, and I'm not going to go into the details of it. But what a reminder of how clear God is and how true he is. And when God speaks, it's clear. And you know it. And it pierces to the heart. And you don't have to wonder. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. I think in this psalm, David is going through yet another trial, but his faith is so strong because he's been through so many and God has delivered him every time. And I just, you just know that he's going through a trial, but he's trusting God. Be thou my strong habitation whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. You know, our main adversary is the devil himself. He's the one that wants our soul. He's the one that wants to move us from the rock of Christ. He's the one that doesn't want to allow the plan of God to take place in our life, that we won't be able to testify to those God who wants us to testify to. So we should call on God, just as David did. Verse 14, but I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall shew forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. And that's just like us. We don't know how many days are in this life. We don't know if tomorrow's the last day. But our mouth should show forth God's righteousness. Verse 16, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have shewed thy strength unto this generation. I love that. He says, forsake me not until I have shewed thy strength unto this generation, until I've testified of you, until I've done the very last work that you want me to do, and thy power to every one that is to come. Verse 19, thy righteousness also, O God, is very high, who has done great things. O God, who is like unto thee? Thou, which hast shewed me great and sore troubles, shall quicken me again. We were talking recently in a Monday night class about the trying of our faith and the trials that God allows in our life so that our faith may be tried, so that we will lean on Him and trust in Him and have confidence in Him And that's what he's talking about here. Thou, verse 20, thou which hast shewed me great and sore troubles, shalt quicken me again, and shalt bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness, and comfort me on every side. I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth. O my God, unto thee will I sing with the harp. O thou Holy One of Israel, my lips shall greatly rejoice. When I sing unto thee and my soul, verse 23, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul, which thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. David had hope in Christ. And I want to turn and read a little bit about Christ. You know, Matthew, in the first chapter of Matthew, I'm not going to read that, but he goes, the people of Israel revered David. And Matthew spends almost the whole first verse talking about the lineage of Christ and how he was, by lineage, the son of David. But Paul and Barnabas, in the 13th chapter of Acts, talk about Christ and how much more greater is Christ. And I'm going to start in verse 14. And this is Acts chapter 13, verse 14. This is Barnabas and Paul. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch and Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, Ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Then Paul stood up, and beckoning with his hand said, Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with an high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward they desired a king. And God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. When John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people, in verse 24, when John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, Whom think ye that I am? I am not he, but behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again. As it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. And boy, did God give mercy to David. Wherefore, he saith also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his father. And was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he, whom God raised again, saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. And so, God raised Jesus from the dead. And this Jesus who David prophesied of, knew of, had hope in, had believed in for his deliverance, has been crucified and raised again by God, that we can receive forgiveness of sin. So we have reason to rejoice. We have reason to praise him. And we have reason to turn from our sins, to repent of them, and to follow Christ. Let's turn back to Psalm 150. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord.
Thank you, Darren. If you have your bulletins handy, you might follow along. Our study class Monday night is usual at 7. Tuesday, the quilt group at Michelle Morris's home, and I read this special little announcement this morning. It says, For those attending, please wear a hat or bring one to decorate if you wish, plus your craft. So you have a hat involved in that meeting. Wednesday, worship and song will be led by our chorister, Janice Welch. It'll be at 7 o'clock. And then we always have a social after that worship and song. So the committee will furnish the drinks, and then we'll partake of the finger food that that you all bring. Friday, United Workers Sweetheart Dinner. It's our annual fundraiser. That's at 6:30 p.m. Bonnie Case has tickets. $2 each or $4 for a family. And then Saturday, the YPCL have a work day. They'll meet at Fred and Sherry Campbell's home at 3 p.m. And I really misread this email this morning, so I'm going to try again tonight. Nick and Rochelle Mayer have a baby girl. Callie Lynn Mayer was born at 9:07 Saturday at St. Mary's Hospital in Blue Springs, Missouri. Callie weighed 5 pounds, 8 ounces, and she's 19 inches long. Please keep this little one and her family in your prayers for a healthy, happy life. Callie's proud great-grandparents are Roger and Martha Bruner and Jack and Judy Sprague. Great-great-grandparents include Lois Harris, Lois Bruner, and Roland Sprague. So we got a bunch of generations there. Thank you to Danielle Eddy who sent this. We're going to close tonight with hymn number 288, and Uncle Nicholas, would you dismiss us in prayer at the end? Thank you. 288.
Our heavenly parent, we pray in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the words of admonition that have been given to us this evening, and pray that thou will bless these things, that they may sink deeply into our hearts, that we may ponder upon them, and that we might let them sprout forth and bring forth fruit meet for thy kingdom. Go with us now as we go from here to our several places of abode. Watch over and protect us in the days that are to follow, and meet with us when we meet again, and help us, our Father, to let the light of thy truth shine forth from us in all that we do, in all that we say, and all that we are. We ask in the worthy name of thy blessed Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, sir.
Yes.
Thank you. I don't know if I should have shaken my hand. I have.